celebrate today. You know, John 6, Jesus says, the work of God is this, believe the one whom he sent. So this morning, it's not us, man. We're not working for anything this morning. Like, we're not trying to, like, get God's attention. We're not trying to strive. Like literally today, the work that we have as a room today, as a community, is to believe what he says. Like, that's the invitation every single day. It's not just Sunday morning. It's every day when we wake up. What voice am I going to listen to? It's not like, am I going to work myself, like, into heaven? No. Am I going to work myself out of God's grace? No. He said, listen, this is the work that you have, Derek. Listen to me and believe me. And so this morning, we're going to open up the Word of God together. We're going to be in Ephesians. I love the letter that Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. And today, we're going to just ask him that truth comes so clear, and that our only work, the only thing our we're supposed to do today is to believe what he says. Can we do that, church? Can we do that? And so let me just pray a blessing. Lord, thank you for this truth, this song. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're so grateful for your church, people of God. Thank you for the scriptures that you've given us to let us know who you are, what you're like. And so, Lord, today we say we're going to believe you. We're going to choose to believe what you say, what your word says, what your spirit is speaking today. And so we just quiet, I quiet the room of any lies of the enemy. Jesus, you've given us authority to quiet the lies of the enemy. And so in the name of Jesus, we just say, be silent. We just want to hear straight truth from heaven, revelation from heaven today. Lead us into truth. Lead us into Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We all said together, amen. Go ahead and find a seat. Man, it's so good to be with you guys this morning. So good to be with you. If you're a guest, welcome. I know there's some new faces here, people checking out the church, maybe moving here. I'm going to say welcome. Today, like I said, if you want to get a head start, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians pretty much all day long, so you can get a head start. You can grab your Bible app, whatever you got, and we're going to be there all day long. Can I just tell you what a joy it is to be part of this community? Like, just being part of what God is doing in this house. And sometimes we come on a Sunday morning, or we're part of a small group, and sometimes we miss out on some of the things God is doing in our midst. And so I just want to remind and to encourage us about what God has been doing, not only in our church, but through our church. So a few weeks ago, months now, there was a massive flooding in Kentucky. A lot of our friends and some family up there navigated just a hard time. And thankfully, we were able to gather together the community and say, hey, we need some gift cards. There's some real needs at Lowe's and Home Depot and these places. And this community in this room, First Service, other people that watch online, gave it was almost $5,000 worth of gift cards. And then we sent a team up there that worked with some families and just gave some hope, beautiful expression of God on the earth. And then, as we know, there's a hurricane in Florida, and one of the young guys in our church, he's been here for, I don't know, like 4.5 years. I met him a couple weeks ago. He felt like the Lord was prompting him to do something in Florida. Although he lives in Tennessee, he's like, man, I feel like the Lord's invited me to do something. And so he kind of put his head together and talked to some people, and he gathered a trailer, and he came to us and said, hey, can you guys just put the word out there to gather supplies? They need water, they need some, you know, food products, babies, diapers, and all that stuff. And so we gathered all those. Many of you brought those into the church. We put them on a trailer and sent them down to Florida to just play a small part. But how many of you know that small part was really big to somebody? Like, isn't this like what the church is supposed to be? And even this this story that I heard a couple of weeks ago, Kim was sharing me, and then I met the gentleman that was doing it. There's a gentleman in our church, and he's into agriculture, and he recognized that there were some real severe droughts going on in Texas. And once again, he's in Tennessee. Like, what are we going to do about that? And so he actually called one of the ag departments at a major university in Texas and said, hey, I'm in Tennessee. I know you guys are going through a hard time. Is there anything I can do? And they said, actually, you know, the lack of rain has really stripped a lot of the protein in the grass, and so there's not really enough. So we're having to use hay, but we really need the hay for wintertime, and he said, so we really need hay. And so he like gathered his thoughts and he's like, man, maybe I can get a trailer load of hay. Maybe I can do that. And so he started making some phone calls in his sphere of influence, and he found somebody who had a full flatbed semi-truck that offered to drive hay down. And then he talked to some people in our area. And not only did he get one load, semi-load of hay, he's got nine loads of semi-loads of hay going down every Monday to some farmers. Once again, is nine truckloads of hay going to help the entire state of Texas? No, but you know what? To that person that receives it, it's going to mean the world. Isn't it beautiful? Like this is what the church is meant to be. Like each one of these individuals, they have a sphere of influence. You, all of us, we have some influence in this room, and we're being invited all the time by God to say, will you be part of what I'm doing? This is what the church is. And so today, as we're in this series talking about change and really that repent, change our mind about how we think today, I want to talk about the church because it really matters about how we see and how we view the church. Because I know this is true across every sphere of organization and thing. What an organization believes or what a group of people believes they are, they will become. Hear this again. Whatever a group of people believe they are, their identity, what they're for, what they're against, they will live into that truth. You ask any sports team, right? If they want to compete for a championship team, man, all of the team, the coaches always say, this is the prize, this is the goal, this is what we're going after. And so why is that? Because they know if we're going to achieve that vision, that prize, we've got to believe it. And so here's the thing about church. God has some things to say about the church. And so today is an anchoring word. It's for us to get anchored in the truth of what are we doing here? Like why do we gather in a room and sing like all facing this way? And it's kind of weird, you know? We can't see this God that we're talking to and we're talking about how we hear from him. Like what's the point of church? What are we doing here? And so we're going to allow this beautiful letter that Paul wrote the church of Ephesus to root us in and to give us some clarity of what is the church, which will really help us know where we're going as a church, right? And so I've got a working definition that I put together this week. There's so many definitions that we could give for the church, but here's the working definition for the day. If we could have it on the screen here. The church, universal church, big church, holy church, is a diverse community. Everybody say diverse. Diverse community. This is so important that we root this in early on in this message, that the church is a diverse community. That means that it's made up of a bunch of people that are different, right? It's a diverse community that has received the relational invitation of God. That means that it's the people that have recognized that through Christ, God has sent this invitation for us to come into oneness, knowing God deeply, walking with God, understanding the things of God. So it's the people that have recognized this invitation and have received it, not worked hard for it, not checked off a list, enough of the list, but have received this free gift of knowing God. It's those people. And then as they receive this gift, this invitational gift of God, they now worship him. The primary first response of the people of God, the church, is to worship God. It's to minister to him. That's why the greatest commandment is love who? Love who? Man, come on, let's say it like we mean it. I know we don't have a bunch of Baptists in here, but let's go. Come on now. Love who first? God, right? Love God. That's the first. You know what that means? It means to worship him. Respond to him, who he is, what he's done. And so my life, not just the singing we just did, that's an expression of worship. That is not the whole of worship. That is just a tip of what worship is. Worship is my life responding. It's how do I love God? And so as we receive this invitation of God, we're then called to love God. And thankfully, though, that love for God doesn't end there, right? What is it then? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And second thing is, love who? Your neighbor as who? As yourself. Now you're catching on, y'all. Let's loosen up here. Can we just shake it off a little bit? Let's loosen up. I'm fired up, man. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about, so I'm going to be fired up. I need y'all to act like at least you're fired up too, right? And so love God, love others. And so not only are we called to worship, for sure, as a community, worship him first, but what's the second thing we're doing? We're called to represent him on the earth. This is what the church is. And I think so easily we think about church and we get such a small vision of what the church is supposed to be, or quite frankly, we honestly just miss what church is. And when that happens, we begin to do things that maybe God doesn't want the church to do. We act in ways that maybe God didn't intend, and we believe things that maybe are wrong. And so today my heart is to anchor us in what is this community that we're part of, those watching online, the community that you're part of. And so I think today the scripture is gonna speak for itself. I'm gonna be all over the book of Ephesians. I'm probably gonna talk really fast, so just really keep your thinking cap on and be with me here. But there's some beautiful truth there. So I wanna start in Ephesians chapter 2, picking up in verse 18. So Paul is writing once again the church of Ephesus, big city, lots of marketplace things going on, lots of worship of gods other than the one true God going on in this part of the world that he's writing into. In verse 18, it says this, for through Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. If you have your Bible, underline household of God. You are being built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is a picture of what is the church. It is a household, it's a community, it's a family. We say that all the time. This is a family first and foremost. We are part of the family of God, and we are this localized family that's in Kingsport, Tennessee is called Christ Fellowship. We are the household of God. And he goes on to say, this is the purpose of the household of God, that it is a dwelling place for God. I love this picture. And it says that we are living stones that are being built together. So tell the person on your left, you are a living stone. Okay, tell the person on your right, I am a living stone. Tell the person behind you, I'm gonna get creative today, behind you, that we are being built together right now. Yeah. And so this is the beautiful picture that Paul is trying to get our heads around. What is the church? We should ask, what is the church? Here it is. It's this beautiful picture of the body, which is not the steeple, it's the what? Inside. It's kind of weird, isn't it, like, for me to do this? It's kind of weird. It's not the steeple, it's the people. And what are the people? You and me, all of us, those watching online, join us together. We are these living stones that are breathing and moving, and we're now being joined together. And before we're ever built together, we have this cornerstone. His name is what? Jesus. And that cornerstone is the chief cornerstone. It sets the direction for everything. It's upon that cornerstone that everything else is built. It gives us a square. It gives the direction. It is the cornerstone. Everything that we are as a church is built on Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? Like, this is who we are, and we are being built together. And here's the crazy thing. It says that we're being built together as a dwelling place for God. We are his temple. That's what the scriptures say. Your body is a what? Temple of the living God. You know what that means? That's why we use that language. Are we a temple because we're, you know, a structure of a temple? No, we're the temple because we house God's presence. Scripture tells us that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. How many of you have God living on the inside of you? Come on now. Like, what if we live like that? The truth is, yes, man, as followers of Christ, of those that receive this relational invitation, we now have the seal of the Spirit of God, which is fully God, is now living in us. That means that you and I are dwelling places. We are tabernacles. We are temples of the living God. Everywhere we go, guess who's also there? God. And then what happens is when those individual temples that he's saying, we are these dwelling places of God, when we come together, we are being built into the place that God dwells. Do you know what should mark the true house of God? His presence. If you've been here very long, you've heard me say this. Man, we love his presence. We're a people of his presence. That literally means God himself. That we don't believe that a church should grow based on the personality of a pastor. We don't think a church should be based on being known just for gathering around a worship team or a beautiful building, a beautiful property. Like, what I see in the scriptures is the people of God, the church, the people that are invited by God and receive the invitation, that there always have been a people that gather around his presence. That his presence is the priority and it's the focus. And that's why we see like stories like Ephesians chapter 13. You see this unbeliever, he stumbles his way into a church gathering like this, and he doesn't understand what all is going on, but he's like, man, God is among these people. You know, as a church pastor, I don't know what other kind of pastor I'd be, by the way. A business pastor, I don't know, but as a church pastor, I don't know why I clarified what a pastor is. You guys know that, but as a leader in this church, how about that? I get the privilege of knowing lots of people. I also receive or hear at least feedback, and I'm so grateful that since I've been here for 5.5 years and well before I ever got here, this is not a complaining church. Like, it's such a, let me tell you, it's such a gift to be part of this community. Because I hear horror stories from other pastors, and it's so terrible, but this is not a complaining church at all, and I'm so grateful. Now, do we have good discourse and conversation? Do we always agree? Definitely not, but there's this beauty in not being a complaining people, which is beautiful. But two of the things that I hear that gets me so excited the most when people visit here, or when people come to just check the place out or join online, two things that I hear that really gets me fired up. Number one is when I step through the doors, I experience great love. I hear stories where people come and they say, man, somebody actually looked me in the eyes and welcomed me. As they came through the doors, people asked how I were doing. Some person said, man, when I came to your church, 5 people said hello to me. It was wild. Right? Like they say we love. And I love the stories like of people. I remember a couple years ago, one of our parking lot crew, they told me a story. A guy came up and he was kind of leering. He was kind of hanging around the parking lot, and he flagged one of our guys down, and he said, hey, am I the kind of person that's allowed at your church? He was all tatted up and everything. And don't you just hate that he even had to ask that question? Because you know why he asked that question? He probably wasn't allowed in another church. Isn't that break your heart? And the guy was like, bro, you are welcome at this church. Let's go. Like, let's go. Like, brought him in here. Like, I love to hear that. I love to hear. But the second thing, and more important than anything else that I love to hear when people say is they said, I don't know what was going on when we came here, but there was just this awareness that God was present. And some people say, you know, the whole time during worship, I cried. And they're always like, not because it was bad. Like, there was just something going on. And one of my friends that comes here, he's a, you know, huge, strong ox of a guy. And every Sunday he comes, he's like, I just cried during worship. There's something that happens. And I love that, right? That's the presence of God. You can't manufacture that. You can't market it. You can't label it. It's what's supposed to mark the people of God, his presence. So when we come together, it should be his presence. And we are learning, and we're definitely not there, but we're learning to be a people that prioritizes his presence above everything else. And so that means that every time we gather, whether it's small group, whether it's an equipped class or Sunday morning, that the honored guest is always God. And if you're a guest here today, man, we love that you're here, but you're not our primary target. Our primary target as a people is the heart of God. And this question has been presented by people way smarter than me, but really pointing to in this day, in this season of faith, in this journey. We're in different chapters. I think we're in a different season than we've been in the past. I think we're actually on the front end of a new season. This question has been asked, and I think it's really, I think the way we answer this question is going to put, there's going to be two answers. And the question is, are we going to build a church that attracts people, or are we going to build a church that attracts God? Like, think about that. What's the target? What's the first thing we think about when we think about how we're structuring our church? What's the first thing we think about when we're talking about what we're going to sing up here, what we're going to read in the scriptures, when we talk about ministry? What's the first thing we're going to think about? Is it how do I get people to come, or is it how can I position and cultivate an environment where God doesn't want to just visit, but he wants to dwell? And the beautiful thing is, and some people get a little sideways, they're like, man, if you make it all about God, like, we're going to miss out on the people. And I would say, no. If we make God our priority, we will not only love God, but we will then love people well. Somebody say amen to that, right? Like, this is this divine order that somewhere along the line, I think many people in the West, we've put people, and how do I please people? How do I attract people above the fact that if we gather a lot of people in a room and God is not present, how do we call that church? I mean, I could go to a big concert, lots of people. We don't call that church. You know why we don't call it church? Because it's not where God's the priority. He's not the present. He's not the one that we're gathered around. So we are learning. We don't have this figured out, but we're learning, man. What's it look like to when we gather together that he's the priority? If he's moving, man, we want to adjust to him. If he's saying something, we want to say what he's saying. And so we're learning what's it mean to be a people that love his presence. And then Ephesians chapter 4, if we skip over here, I think Paul gives us some clarity of what this body looks like. He says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility, listen to this list. This is what the church is supposed to look like, the people of God. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Do you see that? Isn't that beautiful? Eager, excited to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body. How many bodies? One body. There is one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your calling. Now, you're going to see a theme here. Paul is really trying to drive something home, all right? The answer is one. How many lords? One. How many faiths? How many baptisms? How many gods? One Father who's above all, and through all, and in all, for by grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I love this passage. I love this passage. There is one church, let me remind you, but there are many unique expressions. And I love this about God, right? Maybe I said this earlier in the service or not, I'm not sure, but there's a difference between unity and uniformity. Maybe. Like, can I just tell you, it is much easier to go to a church where everybody agrees with you about everything. And yet, what we see in the scriptures, there's one Spirit, but there's a diversity in it. There's this beautiful thing, and that's why I love the fact that we're in a community where we have great Baptist churches, great Methodist churches, great Presbyterian churches, Catholic churches, non-denominational, charismatic churches. I know we joke around this, but you know, heaven is not gonna be organized by your denomination. There's gonna be such a unity in heaven that all that's gonna fade away. All those team names, all those ways that we thought we got it right, and we're gonna get to heaven and be like, oh my goodness, I missed it. You know you're gonna get to heaven and be like, oh my goodness, I totally missed some things. Does anybody else agree with that? Like, that's grace. That's the grace that God would still allow us to gather, allow us to learn. And yet, man, we're going to get to the end and be like, man, I totally missed that. But that's okay. It's grace. And so the beautiful thing about the body of Christ, it is diverse. And that's what we see when Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 3 here. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it. But he goes on about this word. He says mystery. There's a mystery. There's a mystery. And he said, this mystery was not made known to generations before, but he says, it has now been made known in his generation to him. And he says, there's this mystery, and here's what it is, he says in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, the mystery is that both the Jew and the Gentile are now made one and brought into the kingdom of God. So this is the mystery of God, is that now there's no longer Jew and Gentile. Both have been made one body and one family, and now can come with confidence to God. This is the mystery. There's no longer men, women, rich, poor, progressive, conservative. He said all these differences have been brought in to be one body. And then he goes on and he says this about the church. He says the church is the fruition of the mystery. And he says when the church gathers together, there's this wisdom of God that is released on the earth. And he said there's so much wisdom that the rulers and principalities in the invisible world stand in awe of when the church gathers. You know why that is? Because when the church gathered, when it was talking in this day, that when the church gathered together in a meeting like this, there would be Jews, Gentiles, men, women, rich, poor, lots of their different jobs represented. And he said all of that would fade to the background because they would be worshiping God. And the rulers of this world, the ones that are behind all the dysfunction, all the ways that we try to separate, all the political jargon, all that, all the rulers in the world stand in awe at the wisdom of God when they see the church come together. Isn't that beautiful? Like, it's amazing. That's why when I gather here, like, I see the faces. I know you guys. Like, I've been with you. I know the things that have gone great in your life. I know what's going hard in your life. I know in this room, there are lots of variation. There's color differences in our skin. Some of us are financially, in terms of finances, really, really well off. Some of us are just trying to get by in the same row that you're sitting in. Some of us have different kind of religious backgrounds. Some of us vote Republican. Some of us vote Democrat. Some of us are independents. Some of us love President Biden and his message, and some of us love President Trump and his message. And you know what happens in this room like this? Listen, that's all represented, by the way. All of those things. You're like, no way. Yes. And you're like, now you're looking around like, is that that person? No. Don't do that. Because you know what happens? All of this is in this room. There's so much variation in this room. Do you guys know that? There's so much. And guess what happens when we're singing? It is one voice. Come on, somebody say that. Yes, amen to that. When we pray, it is one voice when we're praying. When we open up the scripture, man, you know what? We disagree on some of these things. Do you know that not everybody in here agrees with me on everything? It would be really weird if all of y'all did. That would be called a cult. Man, there's so much variation and differences in this room. And so what happens when we gather together, when we say, you know what? These things that I'm about and believe, it's okay that you believe it, but guess what? They're secondary. And so when I come into a gathering like this, you know what is primary? The presence of God, me loving him. And when I love him, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna love my neighbor who votes different than me. I'm gonna love my neighbor that thinks about the scriptures just slightly different than me. I'm gonna love the person that thinks social issues different than me. I'm gonna love them. Why? Because he loved them me first. And now we're gathered together. And guess what happens as we gather together? We then go. See, this is the beauty of what we're doing here. This is not like, do you know, like, how do I say this in a good way? Like, the pinnacle of the church is not Sunday at 9 or 11 o'clock in the morning. Like, what we're doing here, this is not like the goal. This is the means to the goal, which is to walk in relationship with God and carry whatever we're receiving out into the world. And so what we're doing here is we're tasting and then we're taking. We're tasting and then we're taking. I've been talking to our team about this. We're tasting in this room when we have this moment where we're singing. This is what I believe. And we have so many different people in this room. All the ways that diversity can represent itself in a community. We have all that. And so we've tasted. You know what we've tasted on Sunday mornings? Heaven. There's not a Baptist section in heaven. There's not a Methodist section in heaven. There might be a volunteer section in heaven. I don't know. I was trying to come up with a joke. There was nothing there, though. But like when we come together on a Sunday morning or small groups or quick, like we're living into this reality that there is no more walls between us. And as we taste what this feels like on a Sunday morning, as we know that, we're then called to go into the world and live as if there are no walls in between us anymore. Go. And so we take what we're learning about the Lord, we take what we're learning, and we go. And that means that when we go and we have a boss that thinks differently than us, Jesus is like, welcome to the work. When we go to our neighborhoods and we're driving in and we see signs in the yard and it's political season and we're like, man, are you serious? And we see flags that are flying on the front of houses and we see different things. And instead of just driving into my garage and shutting the door, aren't we so good at that in the West? I don't want to get to know my neighbors. They vote differently than me. They let dandelions grow in their yard. Question their theology on that one. But like, what if like, okay, I've tasted this moment, this beautiful moment in a gathering, like in this room, we're all here, we're all together. Lots of variation. This moment was not meant to stay here. This moment was meant to carry it into the world. That's why we're the light of the church. No. Like right here, this room is bright in the spiritual realm. We know that. Like this is like, it's like super bright. This is like the sun in this room. There is so much light because we are the light of the world, not the church. That means that as we gather together, man, there's light. It's like Batman sending up signals. Like light is like, man, there's so much light. And then we're called to go to more light. No, you know where we're called to go? To the darkness. We go from this light, this beams of light into the world where there's darkness. And guess what we're doing? We are representing. We are ambassadors of Christ, even there. See, we have to think differently about church. It's not about even what happens this hour and a half. It's really, how do we equip and empower you to go where you're going next? That's why you're here. Not to be entertained, not to be like, wow, that was a good message. It's like, man, how can I take what I'm learning, the experience I had with this community, and how do I live that out? And that's what we see Paul gets to, and this is the final passage that I want to turn to. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. This is really the nuts and bolts about our church and why we have the vision and mission that we have, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But this is just such a beautiful section of scripture that gives us clarity of what the church is about. And he says, Christ, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. So what that's commonly known as is the fivefold ministry. You see these all represented here. I want you to be aware, I think that all five of these have been abused at some point or another. That doesn't make them non-existent. So unfortunately, these fivefold ministry, especially the apostle and the prophet piece, that's been really abused, all right? Really abused. And I hate that. I hate that. That these five positions in a church have been really used to build individual kingdoms, to build a name, a brand, to get people to give them money, honestly, sometimes. And I'm just gonna tell you, the purpose of these fivefold ministry, these people, is to pour out their life for the church, not to get their name on a plaque somewhere. So I'm gonna tell you, I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe it's perfect. I believe that God is restoring actually a purity in the fivefold ministry, but it's unto the health of the church, not the fame of an individual. Somebody say, that's what we need, amen, right? And so he says, I'm giving you these fivefold. Christ gave this apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. Look what they're for, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now that ministry word is a hijacked word. Like we immediately think vocational ministry, like pastor, missionary, on staff at a church. But that word ministry is really getting to what has God invited you to be and do. It's like, man, my role as your pastor is to help equip you to do the work of Jesus wherever you go. That's really what it's saying. It says not only are these fivefold to help equip, but they're also called to build up the body of Christ. I'm gonna say that word body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith. Oh, isn't that beautiful? One day there's gonna be this unity of faith that's gonna happen. Until we attain that, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. We're growing in maturity. We're not gonna stay on baby food. We're gonna move forward like Paul has called us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every kind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. The church is meant to grow up. We're meant to change in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So who is the head? Just read it. Who is the head? Christ, right? We're growing into him in every way, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, I love, once again, you know, Paul is so good at analogies. He's such a great teacher. He gives us the living stones earlier and how we're being built together. But now he shifts and he's trying to explain the church. And it's like, he said, it's like a body and there's this head. And the head is Jesus Christ. And then you have the body, which is the people of God. And so the way I was thinking about that is you know, if my head, right here, head, if my head says, man, I want to get a drink from this mug. It's pretty good. See, my head wanted a drink, but guess what actually made it happen? My what? My body. Now think about what Paul is trying to get us to see here. He says, the head of the church is Christ. He is the shepherd. All of us pastors, we are under shepherds. We are learning from him. We are trying to point people to him. So Christ is the head of the church. But guess what Christ needs in order to see what he wants in his heart actually to come to pass? He needs a body. And that's where you and I come in. You see, the church is the means to carry out what God desires. I think I put it with it. It's, the church is an extension of Jesus. I go to the next slide here. I think it is. This next point. It says the church is the vessel that Jesus works with to express his desires on the earth. Look how much bigger of a picture that is of the church. Man, it's not about us just coming together and singing three songs and hearing a good sermon or a bad sermon and getting some prayer. No. Like, it's so much bigger than that. He says, listen, like, you have one that's the head. It's the Christ. And now the body is connected to the head. And now the body is learning what it means to partner with what God desires, because he's the head. See, the purpose of the church is to partner with God, to see his rule and reign established on the earth, to see his will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. This is the purpose of the church, to be his ambassadors, to be his representatives. And the vision of our church, I want to close with this just to make sure we're rooted in what we feel like we're called to as a church, is the vision of our church is really simple. And you've heard these words a lot, but it's to equip and empower individuals to be everything that God designed them to be. This is coming from the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, what we just read. What's the role of the church leader? Is to equip the saints for the ministry, for the purposes that God has for them. And so we believe that God has knit each and every single one of us together, that he has given us an identity, a name, and that he now wants us to live more fully into who he's made us to be. And so as a church, we want to help people do that. And so we are going after that. We believe that's what Jesus did. The whole time Jesus walked the earth, he was helping people clear out the clutter. He was helping them die to the false beliefs, the false things they believed about God, about themselves, and he was trying to get them to stand up in who they really were. And so we as a church, we want to do that, but that's like a big picture. So how do we actually do that? Well, the mission of our church is gets more detail. And it says the mission is to cultivate a community, right? We're a family that is continually being transformed. Do you know what that means? That means we never arrive. Man, if you want to be at a church that we haven't figured out, it's not here. We actually believe that what Paul says here is that the church is going to grow, and we're going to grow in maturity. We're going to grow in the fullness of Christ. We're going to continue to do that until he returns. And so we want to have such humility that we recognize that, man, following God means I'm going to change. And I would say that's not just for the church, but that's also for each one of us. If we're filled with the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit, listen, we are going to change. There's no other way to do it. And so we want to be a community that's constantly and continually being transformed, being changed through the power of the Holy Spirit as we hear his voice, walk in freedom, and live out our God-given identity everywhere we go. it goes back to the stories that I said in the beginning. Take the guy, for example, that put together the hay. Like, in his identity, in his sphere of influence, he knows and recognizes how God speaks to him, right? And it was in that way that God invited him to be part of being a blessing to the farmers in Texas. And that's one picture of many of our heart. Listen, I love what happens on Sunday mornings. I love it. It gives me life to preach the word of God and to see all of y'all and to worship together and get our eyes on him and encounter his presence. I love all that. But what I burn for is not necessarily what happens in this room, but what happens after you leave this place. The picture that I always have that the Lord has given me for years, even before I moved up here, was that as we gathered on Sunday morning, it's like a big bonfire. Huge bonfire. Like I said, lots of light, lots of warmth. And then when we leave this place, like we're going to in just a few minutes, it's this picture of these little fires going into homes, into classrooms, into chemical companies, into small businesses, into retirement communities. And those fires burning and allowing other people to experience what it's like to be with God. See, this is what God desires. And honestly, I think the church can so easily become so inward. We just talked about this. Like, and we've got to be really intentional that we don't, because we love seeing people walk in wholeness and healing. I believe it's God's desire in every way. But that wholeness and healing is not unto us just looking around and saying we're healthy. The wholeness and healing that God wants to give us is unto, let's take that into the world. Let's see that wholeness. Let's see that peace. Let's see that joy. Let's see that hope in places where you wouldn't expect on the earth. That's our hope for a church. This is what the church is. It's much bigger than our gatherings here on Sunday morning. So I want to close up by just asking the Lord a question and just give you a little time to process with the Lord. First question that I always ask the Holy Spirit whenever I'm in a gathering like this, especially towards the end, I just say, Lord, is there anything that you want to highlight? Is there anything specifically that you want me to take away that you wanted me to grab hold on and take? So I tasted. Now, what do you want me to take? So let's just ask the Lord that question. Maybe you look at your notes, if you took them, or maybe you're just thinking back to some of the scriptures. God, what is it today? Just the one thing. Nobody's going to take away everything. But what's one thing that you want to highlight, you want us to carry forward today? Then I want you to think about where do you spend a lot of your time during the week? Many of us, it's our jobs, our vocation. Some of us are retired, and so it looks different than you. Some of us are students in college and high school, middle school. But where do you spend a lot of your time? I just want you to ask the Lord, what would that look like, that space? What would it look like if heaven touched that place just a little bit this week? Let the Spirit speak to you. Let him give you an idea, a picture of what that looks like in real ways. So Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for this amazing idea of a people that have received your invitation that you call the church. Thank you that you love the church so much that you died for her, that she could be made whole, be in relationship with you. Thank you that there's no longer a dividing wall between peoples and people groups. Thank you, that Christ, that you abolished the walls, that you've made us one, that you're calling us into this oneness, this being one with you, but also one with one another. And so, Lord, I pray that this week that we would recognize that we are your dwelling places, that yes, as we gather together, we're in your presence on Sunday morning, but as we go, we are your tabernacles. We're being moved around, and your presence was with us. And so, Lord, help us to partner with you, to hear your voice, even just have the wisdom and practicality of recognizing when there's needs and when you're inviting us to be part of that. As we've talked about this week with the guys that said, I'll help in Florida, I'll help in Texas, or I'll do this or that. Like, I love that, Lord. I love how you invite us in. So Lord, this week, may we be your ambassadors. May we be your representatives to the world. May we not only worship you this week, but may we also express you in practical ways to those in our lives. Lord, thank you that there's no power of hell that can stand against your church. Thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail. Thank you that one day you're going to return for a readied church, a church that's prepared and ready and anticipating you. So Lord, we want to be a people that are yielding to your desires on this earth so that we can see heaven touch more and more down. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to have our ministry team up here this morning as we close up. Before you head out, if you need anything whatsoever, I talked about first service. If you feel like you're stuck, you're in the cycle where you just keep repeating the same thing and you feel like your life's on repeat, man, we would love to pray with you. I feel like the Lord wants to release some of you into some freedom. Any other needs, physical, relational, whatever, we would love to just partner our faith with your faith. We love you guys. Enjoy this beautiful, beautiful sunshine we have today, and let's be everything he's designed us to be. Love you guys.